What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. We'll dig into the game again from last night with the Rockets in the 9 o'clock hour for sure. The texts are already rolling in and people are already looking ahead to the offseason here with the Rockets. And they've got a fairly substantial to-do list, even if you didn't feel like they need to go out and sign a player. They've got guys that they, you know, same decisions they're making on extensions for Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün last year. They're at least, I would imagine, having discussions about what the future looks like with Jabari Smith Jr. and Tari Eason. This time next year, Amen Thompson will be the topic about an extension, all those things. It happens fast, man. Comes at you quick. Kevin Durant is a topic today, Seth. And you and I were talking about KD earlier. The people still seem very split on the text page when we bring up KD, although it's not nearly the deluge of no. I mean, I think people watch these games. It was a tough watch offensively for this team, whether it's late in games and you just need a guy to go get a bucket, or you need a shooter out there for the, you know, the general ebb and flow of the full game to loosen things up a little bit. Kevin Durant does seem to address some of those needs. This is how I phrase the Twitter poll. Pender poll for Rocket fans. After this series loss to the Golden State Warriors, are you more, less, or the same when it comes to wanting Kevin Durant on the Rockets?
Okay. Oh, this is a tough one. Yeah. All right. Because I think people were pretty split beforehand. Maybe more so people were more negative about just, hey, let's see what we have with this. Let's see what we have with these guys first.
Yeah.
So they're negative on Kevin Durant.
And again, keep in mind, same might mean like I didn't want him before. I don't want him
right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a majority, and it would be a slight majority right now, want Kevin Durant specifically. But there's also, there's going to be way more people that were ambivalent before but now want him. So okay. I want to say 62% say that they want him more now than they did before game one.
Okay, that's interesting. No, the answer, and I'll need a buzz here, Colin, if I could. Do you have the buzz sound effect in there? All right, never mind.
Buzz sound effect. I screwed up the simple math on that already. Okay, I was wrong. I overshot it.
No, that's not the buzz. Don't worry about it. Yeah, don't worry about it. It's actually, there's a tie between wanting him more and wanting him the same, and it's 35% each, 30% want him less. Like, this thing is split almost three ways right now with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that was a really simple exercise that I screwed up. I shouldn't have said as high as I did for people that wanted him more. So the people that want him the same, yeah, I guess the tough thing is, okay, are those that how many of those people still don't want him or still do want him?
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't change that much for anything, I guess.
Well, I mean, a third of the people look in a potential move that I feel like a lot of people are against.
Yeah.
A third of the people are saying, all right, that this series has at least increased the chances of them wanting Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I think that this is how I look at it.
Yeah.
I think that all of the young guys that we've talked about that showed promise in this playoff series, which is really pretty much everybody except Jalen Green.
Yep.
Almost everybody that played substantial minutes, I see where, all right, you know what? They got some playoff experience, and I like the metal that they showed. Amen Thompson especially. Games 1 through 4, didn't look like himself. Games 5 through 7, oh yeah, that's what I want.
That's it.
Shangoon defensively great. Offensively did some good things. Too inefficient in a lot of ways, and he himself after the game talked about how he needs to improve. So I look at it almost with – I feel like you have the places in peace and the guys that can grow, but you also want to capture what you have right now and almost like it's quantitative easing. Let's add something else to the mix that can give you scoring immediately as all of those other young guys continue to develop. And then it doesn't have to be something that's a 2 or 3 year process. It can start right now.
Yeah.
And yes, and at the same time, if Cam Whitmore is still on the team, he's going to move. Jabari Smith Jr., he's going to improve. Amen Thompson certainly is just on the right track. And you have the assets to do it. So I would love to have Kevin Durant on this team.
Yeah. I of the young guys, you know, you laid out that like the five young guys that really matter in terms of the immediacy, because Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore, there's nothing you can look at this series and go, I feel better or worse about that guy. I guess I feel worse because I would love to have seen them get in, and especially Reed Sheppard might have been able to come in and knock down a few shots for you. But whatever. Like, so putting those guys aside, the five young guys that homegrown, you drafted, played in this series, the only one I feel worse about after that series, I'm not saying they all played well. Tari Eason had his moments, but he had some brain fart moments too. The only one I feel worse about is Jalen Green. Like that series, I don't know how you can come out of that series feeling anything but worse about what Jalen Green, like his performance was below the line to where you can write it off as youth.
Yeah.
He looked lost out there. He looked better. He looked plugged in defensively. I will give him that. The effort was there defensively, but like offensively, other than game two, he looked lost out there, you know, and just dribbling into crowds and, you know, couldn't handle a lot of what Steve Kerr and the Warriors were throwing at him. The other four, you know, I mean, Amen Thompson, I've always been a huge Amen Thompson guy. So Amen Thompson, you feel great about Alperen Şengün. There's certain elements that I was very critical of in terms of his ability to finish around the rim or in the lane or in the paint. That stands, that criticism, but I feel like Alperen Şengün, I saw enough in this series to where I feel good about what future Şengün is going to look like. And then Jabari and Tari are role players on this team who did some good. I thought Jabari should have got more minutes in this series. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, and especially when it comes to game seven, when your offense is just not working and you can't get a shot off at some point. And at no point in that game, despite them reeling it in a few times, did you feel like they had it working the way they wanted it to work?
No.
That's when I wish Udoka would have, I don't know, maybe he would have felt like it was too much of a desperation move or what have you, but get some shooters in there somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Maybe your defense will falter a little bit, but you like the defense wasn't the issue. It was you've got to score points.
Yeah, I thought there were 2 points in the game last night, Seth, where I was like, oh, that point hurt. One of them was, honestly, one of them was Buddy Hield's three-pointer at the buzzer
at the end of the first quarter.
Like you had worked your way back into that game. Jalen had just made an and one to make it 19-17 Rockets, and he misses the free throw. The Warriors come back down, hit a three to go up 20-19, and then Buddy Hield hits a circus three from midcourt to make it I get it, it's the end of the first quarter, but in a low-scoring game like that, like, for it to be 2019 or for it to be 23-19 instead of 2019 at the end of one just bothered me.
The
other point where they had in the second half, boy, they were, I mean, they came out at halftime, they were down by whatever it was, you know, 8 or 10 at the half, and came out at halftime and they were down by 15 at one point in the third quarter, and they'd whittled it all the way down to 63-60 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. So you kind of got the Warriors playing in the muck with you. It's a game that's being played in the low 60s late in the third quarter, and they had a chance to cut it to one or even tie the game, and the shot they got was like a contested Jabari Smith baseline J from 17 with the shot clock running. They started doing that thing again where they initiate the offense with 5 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, guys, they were even saying it on the broadcast, like, guys, you got to go here. Like, you got to get moving. And so the Warriors immediately go on a 12-2. You get it down to three. You got a chance to tie the game. You miss it. And then the Warriors go on a 12-2 run after that. Like, that was just – that was demoralizing at the end of the third.
The closest they got in terms of win probability was with 2 minutes and 43 seconds left in the third when it was there was 63-6.
Jabari hit a three to make it 63-60, and then 40 seconds later was the sequence I was talking about there. That's where it felt like, okay, they got the home crowd behind them. They're into it. You feel like, boy, they haven't even played really good offense, and here they are within three. And that was when Steph had started to figure some things out too. That was when you're like, wow, they've weathered this Buddy Hield storm. You know, like Buddy Hield was like 6-for-7 from three at that point, and now you got it down to three with the ball, and you just you come away taking a bad shot, and then they go on a 12-2 run.
No, and I'll tell you honestly, like, okay, at that point, it was a Houston with 1:11 left in the first, it was a Houston 53% win probability. By the end of that quarter, that Buddy Hield shot was like, where everything, it never felt genuinely close after
that. Those were the two sequences in the game that they felt like it's a game where each team's possessing the ball 100 times. Those were two that I felt really acutely. The Buddy Hield three at the end of the first, and then when the Rockets cut it to 63-60 and had the ball, and they don't get a good shot, and even worse, they allow a 12-2 run by the Warriors that closed out the third and continued into the fourth. So just a bad night.
So many missed shots in the paint. And that's the missed opportunity there. And that's where I think Şengün was hard on himself after the game, and with good reason. Now, the Warriors were doing a great job with their zone and making it difficult, but there's just too many point blank shots that they missed. And in the series, you look at some of the close games, it was the easy stuff that even for a bad shooting team, it feels like, man, they really just relinquish some opportunities. That's where the playoff experience hopefully makes a difference next year.
If they had won yesterday, would we be coming in talking about them exercising the Warrior demons, or would we have felt more like, nah, this is just a new Rockets crew? And
I mean, I don't know if it would have been exercising the demons. I think it might have been kind of putting the veil or the curtain, like the closing the curtain on the Warriors.
Maybe, yeah.
And what they have been for the last decade or so.
We would have gotten sad Draymond and sad Steph sitting on the bench at some point. You know, if they won by like
Steph's
10.
Steph's kid would have been miserable.
Yeah.
A lot of people were kind of apologetically hoping that Steph's kid was miserable against last night. After game six, Steph Curry's kid didn't want to talk to him.
Oh, really?
He was very upset about that loss. Wow. Yeah, Steph walked off the floor and was trying to talk to his cute little kid. He's like 5 years old or so. Yeah.
Okay.
He's got the kid's got the competitiveness in him. He's got the genes. Yeah.
All right. Here's an interesting take. I think Jalen Green is a very talented athlete, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think he puts in the work to take his game to another level like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant do. When Kobe Bryant had a series of air balls in a playoff game against the Jazz in 1997. This fueled his determination to improve his skill, and he went to work. He was consistently in the gym working on his game. I don't think Jalen has that drive. And like I previously said, I could be wrong about that, but I strongly believe that because there's no evidence that says otherwise. I don't hear any comments about his work ethic.
Well, yeah, it's not like people are gushing or lauding it or anything, but NBA players put in a lot of time, and they play in the summer. They play year round and everything. Yes. But I don't think that's like, yes. Like, I mean, if we need to compare, okay.
Kobe?
I know. That's what bothers me. I don't need him to have a Kobe level of preparation. I need him to have I'd like him to have a James Harden level of preparation or work or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Why do people treat? We need to stop this disease of expecting Jalen Green to be some kind of superstar. It is not there. It's just flat out, yes, everything you said about him not measuring up to Kobe or Michael Jordan, why are you setting the bar up there?
Yeah.
I want him to have the same level. I'd like him to be at Doncic level. I'm joking. compared to any of the top 20 players in the NBA, where is that same fire, that same drive, or any of the intangibles? Right, it's not there. So to even bring up Kobe or to bring up Michael Jordan, it's disrespectful to those guys.
Yeah.
He doesn't. There. No. Yes. You're 100% right. He doesn't have that same level. Like, just like 99% of other NBA players. I want him to get up to the level of genuine all-stars.
Well, it's just funny to me, like, just because you don't hear about how he works, you make an assumption about how he works. You know, like, because I don't hear about his work ethic. I'm just going to assume that he's not in there putting it. I mean, the guy literally says, like, I don't think he's got the drive to be great. Like, how the hell do you know what kind of drive he has? I mean, the one thing I'll say about Jalen is one of the few stars who will, and maybe I'm using the term star a little too loosely now. Jalen answers the bell. Like, Jalen will go play. Jalen plays hard. It may be, though, that he, just based on what his skill set is, there's a ceiling on what exactly he can be for a good NBA team. I mean, can he be the best player on a championship-level team? We are so far into hell no right now. Like, we are so far onto the map of that in hell no territory.
Yeah.
So, I mean that's...
There's all kinds of stories about him going back to the gym after, you know, to shoot extra and everything. Like, yeah. That's where it's just... And I'm not... Yes, it's okay to question anybody's preparation depending on, you know, when they're not showing results. It's just... It's more than that. Yeah. It's like, at the end of the day, you don't have to overly complicate things. The guys... He just flat out did not show up, and he looked like a deer in the headlights at times. And the consistency improved this year throughout the regular season. But it's like, it's this old myth or belief that somehow, you know, it's not like Michael Jordan's work ethic alone is what made him
one
of the best basketball players of all time.
Right.
There is a talent component there, too.
Well,
there are lots. You know what? There's lots of guys who worked just as hard as Michael Jordan who never made it in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, there's not. Yeah. There's more to it than just the 10,000 hours isn't some unattainable standard. It's a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people spend 10,000 hours working at something and don't end up being the absolute best of all time.
Yeah. I guess put it succinctly for Jalen, there are holes in his game. I don't think effort is one of them. I don't think work ethic is one of them. Like, I think the fact that he's not really a pure shooter, he's a guy who can knock down threes, but he's not a guy that scares you shooting threes. I think he loses his head sometimes on the court just in terms of making strange decisions when he's pressing a little bit. I think we saw that a lot in this series, especially early on. When things weren't, other than game two, when things weren't going well, he would drive to the rim, get his shot blocked. He turned the ball over. The beginning of that one game where he was just careless with the ball for three straight possessions in the first minute of the game. Like, those are the types of things. So, all right, keep texting in. Jalen is always in the gym. They report that he works hard. Thank you, texter.
It's not even, that's where it's an oversimplification sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really, really hard to be an awesome basketball player.
Yep.
And you can work, you can do everything you're supposed to be doing, and it doesn't mean that that's what turns it for you.
That's
like
right.
With Jalen, there's something more than does he works. I have no doubt that he works as hard as a lot of players who are better than him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that now 4 years into it, his age is less of an excuse. And some of the things that showed up in this series, you just start to wonder, all right, maybe it's just not there with him.
Well, and you can't just write it off to youth as easily when there's four other guys who are in your age bracket who didn't look overwhelmed. You know, they had their ups and downs, but Jalen looked overwhelmed in that series. None of the other four guys, you know, Tari, Jabari, and Alperen Şengün. None of them looked overwhelmed to me to the degree that Jalen was.
Amen Thompson is a perfect indication of a young guy, you know, in his second year who looked a little bit like he was getting his feet underneath him in the first four games, and then comes out in games 5, 6, and 7, and he's classic Amen Thompson. Like, all of that you could see the dog in him.
Yes.
And it's just... Yeah, it just, we didn't really, we saw the 38-point performance, but then six games of, I don't want to say absolute nothingness, because there was some, obviously he had good moments, but it still wasn't the straw that stirs the drink moments.
No. He scored 38 in a game in a 7-game series and averaged 13 a game for the series, you know what I mean? That's hard to do. It's hard to do when you have the ball in your hands that much. All right, rolling on here in the 9 o'clock hour, Payne and Pendergast. The Sanders family evidently has a new enemy. And I don't know if this is someone based on his act on social media that I would want to piss off. We will tell you who it is coming up next.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Rookie minicamp's already started in some places. Texans rookie minicamp, May 9th and 10th. So Friday and Saturday this week. We're going to get Nick Caserio on either Wednesday or Thursday. Still nailing down the day, but the Texans GM will join us prior to rookie minicamp. So this will be our first chance to talk to him post-draft and get his thoughts on the team as we move into the summer before the all-important third season of the C.J. Stroud era. So we'll do that later on this week. As soon as we get a date for you guys, we will let you know that. I don't know if Cleveland has started their rookie minicamp or not yet, Seth. That'll be one that people have a lot of eyes on because of the Shedeur Sanders dynamic. You know, and there we go. We got Seth's mic up? Good. Okay.
Let me talk.
Yes.
Okay. Let me talk, Sean. Let me talk. Come on, Sean. Come on. Let me talk.
Shedeur, Dylan Gabriel. Does Deshaun Watson hang out at the... Well, it's just rookies. So those two, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur will be getting their little run there.
I think it'll be interesting, mostly because I think that, for me, Kenny Pickett is still the favorite to start week one. I don't know exactly how you work a quarterback competition with two rookie draft picks, Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, other than that Joe Flacco probably, like, I don't think he needs to get that many reps. He knows the system, and they're probably just going to, you know, keep him sharp, he'll be there as a resource for the other guys. But where there's a realistic chance that Shedeur Sanders could start week one as well, there aren't as many reps to go around these days. And it feels a little bit almost like when Deshaun Watson was a rookie and they're out there, they're running all the Tom Savage is running the starting offense. And, you know, Deshaun Watson is getting what he can, but he didn't end up starting until the third quarter of week one. but now you have Dylan Gabriel in the mix too. The Browns are in a weird situation where I think that Stefanski and Barry, the GM, probably look at Sanders as the better prospect.
Oh, yeah.
Except that they'd been, for various reasons, reluctant to pull the trigger in using a higher draft pick. But when he's still sitting there at five, they just couldn't turn down that value. And now all of a sudden you've got the lower draft pick, who they probably actually feel better about as a football player, that's going to have to try to compete with Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
I don't – yeah, like it's hard just because of the way the CBA is now. You don't have genuine two-a-days anymore. Mm-mm. The total number of practices are limited. There just aren't that many reps to go around.
So the Sanders family appears to have a new enemy here. You know, of course, everybody – they're under siege from everybody, with Shadur falling in the draft and
yeah.
and the way they handled their business. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe Shadur's learned a thing or two. Antonio Brown on Twitter this weekend. This is what he tweets. 2014 – I went to Dallas, Deion's house, train his son, Deion Jr. So now we should point out, Deion Jr. is neither Shadur nor Shiloh. Deion Jr. is the son that's handling all the social media stuff for Team Deion. He's the one with, you know, filming all the videos and things like that. But there was a point, I guess, in time where Deion Jr. was a decent football prospect as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 2014, he goes to Dallas. 2017, Shiloh came to Pittsburgh that summer, was fighting, in trouble, rapping. AB got the flight. Deion said, help.
So right? We wanted him to talk some sense to him.
To Shiloh, I guess. Yeah, okay. Yeah. 2020, came to Dallas to run routes with Shadur and Shiloh. Okay? So that that would have been
There's footage of that one, by the way.
Is there?
Yeah, and a lot of it, it's weird. I was trying to figure this out. There's footage of people, it was Shiloh covering Antonio Brown, and like... people were trying to say that Shiloh was doing a good job versus Antonio Brown. And I don't, all you could tell was that whoever was throwing the passes was wildly inaccurate. So Antonio, the clips I saw, Antonio Brown wasn't making catches, but it's because the ball was like 20 feet over his head. Or Shiloh was like dragging, like he was in the Iditarod, dragging Antonio Brown from behind after he got beat. And Shiloh stands were trying to say like, yeah, look at him versus old man Antonio Brown. Yeah.
Right.
So but he went and ran routes with Shadur and
routes
Shiloh
with them. Yeah. That'll be the third time that the Deion's reached out to him. And in 2020, like that he was helping, you know, that he's helped the Sanders kids. Same trip in 2020. This is where it gets juicy. Fishing with Deion, one of his hooks stuck in my toe. Buddy talking, no shoes on. I'm not going to say the words he's using, the nouns he's using. This person, different noun, took the hook out my toe with pliers. So Deion, I guess, removed the fish hook that was embedded in Antonio Brown's toe with pliers.
Yeah. Okay.
You ain't need help, and you sure never help no one. Person never asked about my toe once till this day. Wonder where your toe went. Oh, that's harsh. For those who don't know, Deion's had to have at least one or two toes amputated.
Yeah.
Don't say I'm your dog ever at Deion Sanders. Hashtag CTESPN.
Hard for me to side with Antonio Brown in this one. It sounds like... As has happened with many people in Antonio Brown's life, I think there's people that have had a relationship with Antonio Brown and maybe tried to help him out or had gotten help from him at some times. But like for Antonio Brown to expect anybody to maintain a relationship with him at this point, it's Antonio doesn't quite understand Antonio. Like, what exactly about Deion do you want to be helping you out with right now?
The fact that like there's nothing to do with football, it was a fishing hook got embedded in his toe.
Deion took it out.
Took it out with pliers.
Pliers. I'm not clear whether that he's mad about Deion taking it out with pliers instead of taking him to the emergency room or what.
I'm not either, but he's clearly has an issue that Deion has never called him in the 5 years since to check and see how his toe is feeling.
He's making fun of Deion's amputated toe.
He's making fun of the toeless Deion. Yeah, well, even though since 2020, Antonio Brown had participated in NFL games. You know, is there really a need to check on his toe over these last five years?
Yeah, yeah. It's probably all right. Let's ask about, what about you? And what are you doing with your feet, Antonio Brown? This is the second foot mishap I've heard with you.
Oh,
you
the got, cryo. You got,
yeah, he did the cryo in France with no booties on and burned his feet.
There was another story circulating last week that Antonio Brown had taken a couple of sex workers to Dubai with him.
Oh, goodness.
And promised them that he would pay their rent, take them shopping and pay their rent. And one of the sex workers posted a a screen grab of a text conversation that she's having with, not with Antonio Brown, but with somebody else, where she's explaining the situation. He told me coming out here he was going to bring me shopping and pay my rent, and he didn't either. Now it's the first, and I'm stuck here with no room and no clothes and no money. I'm bleeping pissed. And then she's trying to figure out in this text string how to even get home from Dubai. She's got no money. Antonio, she had not. This is what I would tell any sex worker or anybody in any profession looking to get into business with Antonio Brown: run a credit check on him first.
Yeah, or just like a Google search.
Yes,
yeah.
He does not like paying people for things at all.
Dubai is pretty strict with their moral codes and whatnot, aren't they not? Yeah, I feel like that would be the last place you should also accept the job to fly over to provide services for.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a black market and an underworld everywhere you go, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Antonio Brown's on everybody's bad side right now, man. He's, the Sanders family, sex workers. Yeah.
So Antonio Brown, I think the biggest thing as far as just him, remember what he did with Tom Brady's trainer? Remember Tom Brady?
Yeah.
He had worked out. He had paid in advance for services, and then
Alex Guerrero.
Yeah. So Antonio Brown got cut midway through that season when he did the jumping jacks off the field. He sent a text to Alex Guerrero saying, "Hey, since I didn't end up using this, I'd like a refund." Alex Guerrero replies, "Sure, no problem. Where should I send it?" And then Antonio Brown put that text conversation up as evidence that Antonio Brown was getting screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the level you're dealing with here. Like, he doesn't even, he lashes out at anybody and everybody, even if they're trying to do right by him.
Mm-hmm.
So I stand with Dion in this one.
I do too.
I don't think Dion needs to somehow be checking in on Antonio Brown.
And
Antonio Brown left a few exchanges out of this situation.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought it was an unnecessary swipe at his somewhat toeless foot. That Antonio Brown took. That was, I mean, pray for the foot, really, more than anything. This is funny. Here was Josh Jacobs was on the Pivot podcast, I believe, and was talking about what the experience was like playing with Antonio Brown in Las Vegas for the brief time that Antonio Brown was a Raider for like 2 months.
He would be one of them guys, man. He'd be in meetings. He on his phone. And he ain't even hiding that he on his phone either. He like... on his phone, but then be the only person to go out there on the field and never mess up a play.
Right.
And the hardest worker, the only person I can really compare him to is that work as hard as him is Max Crosby. I've never seen nobody work as hard as AB on the field. He gonna run 100 yards, come back down, and line it up again. I ain't like the way you threw it. Run it again. And then he gonna come back to the ball. He gonna finish every time. He gonna be the hardest worker on the field.
Yeah, that jives with everything anybody said about him. As far as he's not, the work ethic was never the issue. It's just everything else and all the craziness that comes with him. That poor, whatever's going on with Antonio Brown. I wish we weren't in an era where you can monetize all of your mental illnesses or what have you, because it's hard to motivate somebody to go get help when they're probably making at least six figures on social media being just themselves and putting everything out there. It's tough. Because it's preferable to being broke, but it also, it's not necessarily probably motivating him to get help with whatever issues he has.
No. Someone said you can side with Dion if you want. Okay, first of all, I love that voice-to-text spells Dion like Dion Warwick, not like Deion Sanders. D-I-O-N-N-E. You can side for Dion if you want, but this is a good point. Who in their right mind calls Antonio Brown to come help with their children? That's so true.
I know. Okay. All right. Good. Excellent point. Okay.
That's a good counterpoint.
You know what? I got to remember the first thing I say a lot of times, you don't have to side with anybody in any given situation. It's okay to, two sides where you're like, no, nobody's in the right.
Just sit
back. Yeah, my son is having an issue with, what was he doing? Fighting and, according to Antonio Brown, Shiloh's.
Fighting and rapping, he said. Yeah.
Fighting and rapping too much, apparently.
I'll read you. I tried to take these Antonio Brown tweets and at least sort of paraphrase so that they're complete.
Yeah.
I will read you exactly what he said about Shiloh. Shiloh came Pittsburgh that summer, was fighting in trouble, purple devil emoji, rapping AB, got the flight, Deion said help. No punctuation, capitalization of said for no reason. Let me read that again. Shiloh came Pittsburgh that summer, was fighting in trouble, purple devil emoji, rapping AB, got the flight, Dion said help.
Okay, of course. So Antonio paid for the flight and Dion said help. I don't know, did Dion, I wonder if Dion said help like when he found out that AB was like flying out on his own dime to go help his son.
No,
like, yeah, Dion might have called Antonio Brown being like, hey man, you know, I just, not quite sure how to handle Shiloh here. You got any, and, you know, and you feel like Antonio Brown, okay, you go to a guy that's had troubles himself. Dude. And maybe he's got some insight. And then all of a sudden, AB's on a flight out to talk to your teenage son.
The funny thing is, like, I can hear AB, like, Shiloh came Pittsburgh, that's someone with fighting in trouble, rapping, AB got the flight. Like, with that low, cadence where AB turns the whole sentence into just one long monosyllabic or polysyllabic word.
Who's the last person? Who's the last person at Sports Radio 610 that you would call if Sammy or James had trouble and they needed help?
Oh, and they needed help.
Are you worried they might actually lead them astray?
The last person.
We don't really have any train wrecks right now on the station, really.
No,
so
no, probably. I would say and only because he's the youngest would be like Reggie. Reggie would probably be it, only because I need to answer the question. It would probably be Reggie only because he's the youngest and doesn't have as much life experience to impart on them.
Yeah.
And yet I would, if Reggie were the person available, I would call Reggie and say, hey man, give, because I think Reggie's got his bleep together. You know what I mean?
I would worry that Lopez would just, in forming a relationship with my son, would start telling a few too many stories about the good old days and the stuff that Lopez used to do. and my son would be thinking like, oh, this guy's done all right for himself.
Yeah.
I could just go act like you could get away with in the 1970s as a teenager. Yeah.
I have a feeling if I put Lopez in a room with like one, let's say put him in a room with Sammy. Hey, John, give me some advice and just let me know how it goes. And then they come out of the room, and Sammy's got like three crates of OG sauce. Like, that's it. Like, what the hell? I don't know. Like,
Did he spend his school loan on OG sauce?
Did he help solve your problem? No, but he sold me these. He told me I got to buy these three boxes of OG sauce. Yeah.
And I say that while also feeling like I think Lopez might be the first guy I'd call.
Yeah,
if,
for sure. We got a good group, man. We got a good crew. All right. Final segment coming up. We've talked a lot about the Rockets. What to make of James Harden? We'll talk about the Rockets in this final segment, too. We're getting some of your texts. What to make of James Harden? Now, some of the numbers, at least we can revel in the fact it isn't our problem anymore. We'll do that coming up next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
A lot of suggestions coming in as to what the Rockets need to do. We got a lot of fantasy GMing going on the text page. We'll get to all that. I think the thing, you know, they lose in the first round, Seth, and yet I feel like hope is still very, very high. It would have been nice if they won this series, and I think if they won this series – and then, you know, even just went to 6 or 7 with Minnesota, who was in the conference finals last year, people would be feeling extra good about it. I think generally that's probably the Twitter poll to do is just, how you feeling about the Rockets? What's your hope level right now? You know, like, is, because I think it's really hard to look at the regular season and this 7-game series with the Warriors and not at least feel good about the direction of the team. You know, to what you think their ceiling might be, then that's fair. And if you feel like they need to make some changes or some tweaks, I can't disagree with you on that. But it's, I think it's hard to look at the totality of the season, the way they battled back in this series, and just the simple things, if they did better, they probably, like shooting free throws, they probably win that series and not feel good about at least that the trajectory is a green arrow moving up right now for them.
Yeah. There were some of the missed opportunities for just the simple stuff. In hindsight, it really, really hurts. And yet at the same time, you see how close you are.
Yeah.
Today, if you can just turn that corner, it's not just, oh, you win this series. It's, oh, wow, you're actually a real threat in the playoffs.
Yep.
It just, but as it always is in life, sometimes the simple things aren't quite so simple to attain.
No, Sean. No. Yeah. I think the similarity with the Texans, this team really seems to like each other. They like being around each other. You know, we've heard the Texans talk, well, they got 30 guys in the building because guys just like being in the building.
No. Yeah, no, and I think that's worth just, if you bring up, just to think about the contrast when whatever the frosty relationship between Harden and Dwight Howard was.
Yeah.
Where they were cordially incordial or however somebody described it back in the day.
The Rockets would go into more off seasons like this asking themselves, who do we need to get rid of because they can't get along with James?
Right.
As opposed to who do we need to bring in to supplement what it is we have. I'm trying to remember, I think it was Tari Eason's post-game availability I was watching last night after the game, and it really hit home because he's like, man, I just wanted to keep playing basketball with these guys. I just really like coming to the building every day. What was it like in the locker room? A lot of hugs, you know, like we really enjoy each other's company, this group, the vets and the young guys.
Yeah, you know what, and I'm glad you brought in that element to it because I think there's a chance that the Rockets basically just run this back with some minor tweaking and don't bring in any huge names or what have you. People are going to be uncomfortable with Jalen Green's performance and wonder and worry about what exactly is he and what can he become. But I do think that I am very open to, because of everything that we just said, some of the simple things that just need to get better, and some of your young role players or guys that are waiting in the wings, if you get that cumulative effect of, man, you look at the Warriors, and at various times in their history, a Looney or a Buddy Hield or guys of that ilk ended up being a huge factor in the playoffs.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that this team is loaded with guys like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. And just as a contrast, as long as we're going to use James Harden here and talk about him, you know, like I said, Tari wasn't alone. There were a lot of guys like just bummed that they're not getting to play more basketball with this group. They don't want to see any substantive changes with this core either. They like playing with this group. Now, they may not get their wish, But maybe as a contrast, here was Kawhi Leonard asked after getting blown out in a Game 7 in Denver. They were losing by 30 in the fourth quarter in this game. And James Harden had one of his classic Game 7 just no-shows. Here was Kawhi Leonard being asked about, is there any hope for you and James in getting to the mountaintop?
I don't know right now. I guess we still playing at a high level in a sense. But it's a hard question to answer right now.
Okay. So Kawhi, it's right after a game. Yeah. That's a tough thing. That's a tough thing to answer.
Plus, it's Kawhi. I mean, like, I don't know. Kawhi could be
man a few words. Yeah, man a few words.
Kawhi, you just spent 2 hours talking to Jesus himself face to face. How was it? Well, you know, it was transformational in a lot of ways.
James ducked the media these last few games of this series. He was 2-for-8 from the field, scored 7 points. And the fun fact, the fun James Harden fact, since 2020 in game sevens, he's averaging under 14 points a game, 27.5% field goal percentage, 16.7% from three in 42 minutes. Like, so he's playing practically entire games.
He's out
and
there.
And is abjectly terrible for these games.
He's giving your team for 42 minutes a game in those games. 27.5% field goal shooting percentage.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, that's the one. You look at even the points per game, you might hear that and think, okay, well, clearly teams are focusing on him and he's just distributing and what have you. Like, nope, not it at all. He's just completely not showing up.
Yep. Last five elimination games. So each of the last 5 years when James has been eliminated from the playoffs, 13 points per game, 19 of 61 from the field, 7 of 34 from 3. So again, shooting percentages that are around or under 30% from the field and around or under 20% from 3. It's bad.
It's awful. I wonder if he's ever spoken to a sports psychologist about this.
That's a great question.
It's so obviously consistent.
Yeah.
And it's in those moments that he just falls apart.
Yep.
Like, that's clearly, to me, like, it's something mental or emotional or whatever it is. Like, he's got to figure. I just see he's got to figure this out. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't.
Yeah, I don't even know how motivated he is to figure it out. I would advise him
that he should try to figure it out.
Yeah, I would too. Well, I think the number, if we're just kind of unpacking the forensics from the game on Saturday, Seth, the number that's most interesting to me is he only shot the ball. Period. Just shots, not 3-point shot. Shots 8 times in the game. He only took 8 shots in the game. That's indicative of somebody who's afraid to shoot in these situations. You know what I mean? You know, he's 8 shots for James Harden in an elimination game.
It is, honestly, I'm so glad that they had the good sense not to try to get Harden back here or accept his inviting himself back to Houston or onto the Rockets. It didn't make any sense at the time, and I know a lot of people really wanted it, and I get why to a point, but you can't ignore all of this. And not to mention, when you've got these young guys that, especially after watching this season, are on the right path and learning how to play basketball the right way, everything else, like, what about James Harden being here would have made it a better offense on paper? And yet, it wouldn't have done anything for you in Game 7.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have taught any of those guys anything about playing with flow or anything else. Like, all those issues they have right now would still remain in terms of the actual core structure of your younger players.
Yeah. Okay, you asked who the last person you in the 6'10 lineup that we would have.
Yeah.
Give advice to my kids or anybody's kids. Someone texts in and reminds us, Sean Bajani was the one that wanted to fight Seth Payne and thought he could whoop his ass.
Yeah.
That's probably the last guy I would say.
He'd
then.
Be like the guy Bajani. That was telling it. He would just start telling my kids what I'm overrated and I'm soft.
Yeah.
I kick your dad's ass. You think you know why your dad called me in here? Because he's scared of me.
That's
you know
right.
why? Because I've got grit. I've got toughness.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's what I say.
You should fight him. That's what he would say. You should fight him. You could whoop his ass.
Well, Sean would honestly tell Seth's kid, like, this is how I would whoop your dad's ass.
Yeah, that's Bajani would? Right. Yeah, advice. Exactly.
Oh, and then beat my kid. That's how he's gonna rope me
like
into
beat
the
up
fight.
The kid. Like,
No, beat up Seth.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Dang, man.
So James Harden has now lost a game 7 for four different teams. He's the only player to ever accomplish that. So
really?
Yeah. That surprised me a little bit. Like that, there hasn't been some rando that like Sam Cassell played for half the league. He wasn't on 4 game 7 losses at some point.
Seems like the kinds of guys that get to a certain number of game 7s would usually be on the same team.
Well,
wouldn't be on that many different teams.
He's never missed the playoffs, James Harden. Like in his whole career, he's been on a playoff team. He's like the Mike Tomlin of football players. You know what I mean? Like he's or basketball players, I should say.
His next contract needs to be strictly regular season.
Yeah,
you gotta. He's just with ships.
Yes,
they have they have harbor captains or whatever they're called, harbor pilots. I think where the main captain gets the ship to the port, but then the harbor captain, like a guy who's a local expert, takes over and gets you into the harbor.
Okay.
Some team needs to hire James Harden as the guy. He's fine on the open seas.
Right.
But don't get him near any other vessels or anything.
I didn't know about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Like a Josh Hader coming in and closing the deal. By the way, I should point out, Mike Tomlin did win a Super Bowl early in his career. So then maybe it's the recent.
He won that
recent
game 7.
Yeah, he did. He did win that one for sure. What's up, boys?
I'm very impressed with Seth's knowledge of Harbor Masters.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're a man that's on the open seas from time to time.
That's
hey, Reggie,
Seth.
How you doing as well?
You know what, John? I read it in some book somewhere once. It was in some novel, and then I Googled it and did my research afterwards. So,
yeah.
I didn't learn it the real way, the way you have.
Out on the open seas.
Out on the water, baby.
Yeah.
Out on the water.
So John's back today.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we feeling today, boys?
Not great, Bob.
No, man. Not me either. Me either. That was disappointing last night.
Yeah, especially for me on the backdrop of Game 6. I was looking at Game 6 and I was like, oh, okay. So Game 5 wasn't just a game. It felt like they found some things. So I was like, okay, this is
you went on
to
the
translate.
Road, you know?
Yeah, I was like, this might translate to a Game 7 in one of these moments. And no.
You know what? You know what? One of our listeners earlier had texted in something about like, hey, do we know that, does Jalen Green work hard all this? And basically, yeah, there's plenty of stories of Jalen Green going to work on a shot after a bad game and all this stuff. Like people look at him as a pretty hard worker. I almost wish, this is one of those situations where I almost wish he wasn't, because then you might see like, oh, wait a second. Okay, he needs to see the light, and maybe this will see the light. You know, or somebody, sometimes with a young athlete that maybe has drug and alcohol issues or something, you're like, oh, okay, if they can clean themselves up, my God, he'll be incredible. But I don't think any of those are an issue.
That hope for the room for improvement.
Yeah, like conversely, well, we just got done talking about James Harden. There's TMZ videos out the wazoo of James Harden being out on town, bumping into cars and things like that. Like, there's plenty of evidence of James Harden at the strip club right after there's zero evidence of Jalen Green. I mean, he's only 22, so he doesn't have a big swath of his life where he can legally be out doing those things. It was just weird. That listener, that was a strange text, because it was like the absence of workout videos was the proof to that particular texter that Jalen Green has work ethic issues, you know?
Right. Yeah, we're like, okay, I kind of admire people that don't have to put everything on Instagram.
Correct.
And people have always talked about Jalen Green as a hard worker. I don't know. Yeah, is it at the same level as Kobe? I don't know. But there are plenty of players in the league who are better than Jalen Green right now who don't have the Kobe or the Michael Jordan work ethic.
Yes.
So it's not like that's the one only thing that's missing. I don't know.
Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. What's the question of the day?
Oh, we got it nailed down.
You settled on, there was two of them you were kicking around before.
We combined the two, and I think it's going to be a lot more fun this way.
I don't think
we combined the two. Kind of. Okay.
Draymond Green took advice from his barber.
Okay.
In terms of entering Game 7.
Yeah.
Where's a strange place you get advice or inspiration?
I hadn't heard the story. What was
in the
barber's advice?
He said he got advice from a lot of different places, his friends, his barber, about keeping the intensity but under control.
Okay.
And he was, to his credit.
Yeah.
He was. I do question why it took a whole intervention for him to realize
where's a weird place you get advice or inspiration?
I'll tell you what. Okay, not an inspiration, but advice. And it's not advice necessarily, but I've realized as I've gotten older, there are certain things that I thought were more acceptable in life than they actually were, because of comedies that I watched growing up. and you don't realize, like, when you're a young man or a teenager, you don't realize, like, okay, it's funny because this is not the way to act. And I would point to Seinfeld. It's like, yeah, like,
oh, yeah.
People, all the characters on Seinfeld were awful people.
They were jerks. Yeah.
But girl, I didn't realize that necessarily until I was older. I was kind of like, oh, all right. Oh, Jerry did it. Yeah, George did it. Whatever. This is the way to act.
That so, counts. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a good one.
Yeah, you're
that's
mimicking
a very good role models.
Yeah, yeah, you're mirroring there. Yeah. Yeah.
Sneakily poor role models.
I'm going to tell you mine is very, it's very current. It's any tweet that looks like some sort of self-help string on Twitter.
Yes. You fall for those?
Oh,
wait,
for
what?
Sure. I read all tweets.
Fall for those is the right
yeah,
term.
Yeah,
fall for those
yeah,
is the right
like,
term.
Yeah, like it's, these are the, this. Are you having trouble finding sentences to use in social situations?
Oh, don't do it.
I read them all, man.
Oh, no.
No, I don't enact all of them. I don't say, here's my new playbook or anything like that. But I don't
like
ignore all of them either. Yeah.
I like the ones that start, they tell you
something
that medical professionals don't actually tell you.
Yeah.
And then they'll go and they'll argue why the medical professionals are wrong for telling you something that they don't actually tell you.
Yeah.
God, I hate those.
I'm a sucker for those.
I hate
those. No, I've got like five of them bookmarked. Right now.
How will you know until you try them?
That's exactly it, man. That's exactly
productivity
it.
Productivity hacks are the worst. Don't ever get into productivity hacks, kids.
Do
the reps. Do the reps.
I read one.
Are boring, Seth. I need tips and tricks.
I read a string last night that was about like advice on how to disengage from your phone for X amount of time per day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And I read like all eight tweets of the string, and they
on
were
your phone.
I'm like on my phone. Yeah, on my phone. I'm like, the irony is I would not get this advice if I were taking your advice. Yeah. But in the end, I'm like, okay, it was really just like, you know, put a password on your phone so that you actually have to make an effort to get on there. Like, you know, block certain apps and things like that. I'm like, I guess this is good advice. But so anyways, that's mine.
The little timer, you know what, on your phone, using the timer that you can put a limit on how much you use your social media, that actually helps me a lot.
Yeah, I think that was one of the pieces of advice. Yeah.
You get to a point where you don't realize that there's times where you're wasting hours in a day on social media.
Yeah.
So it's nice to get that. And you can override it.
Yes.
But like sometimes it's a wake up call. You're like, what the hell am I doing? My to-do list is still way unchecked.
I get that little ping every Sunday morning. It's that morning that tells you how many hours per day you averaged on your phone every Sunday morning. And I, even when I make an effort or when I feel like I'm always within, every week I'm within like 30 minutes of the average. You know,
really?
Like, I'm pretty consistent. I am pretty consistently not present for those around me. Yes.
But you're also doing it for your job.
That's right. That's a great excuse.
Bookmarks and audio and what have you.
Yeah. Reggie was ready to defend me on this. I like
look at it that way. It's like, look at all these hours I worked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Look at all these hours I worked.
And that's why you don't look any deeper as to which apps it is or anything like that.
That's why what happened the other day. That was my reply to Amy because Seth was bringing up, what did Amy bring up that I hadn't paid attention to? Oh, the shrieking woman.
Oh, the person, the shrieking woman during the Rockets game five.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
You acted like, you were acting like I was making a big deal out of something that must not be a big deal at all.
No, I didn't. I just said I hadn't heard it. That's not true.
You said, Seth, this is dumb.
That's not true. Yeah. I was the only one that didn't hear it. So I'm like, man, I just didn't hear it. I don't know what was up. Mm-hmm. And I get a text from Amy who was listening. She's like, I literally mentioned this woman as I was sitting next to you on the couch. I literally mentioned it. And I'm like, yeah, but if I wasn't on my phone, I wouldn't be so successful.
This is true.
All right?
This is true.
Oh, man.
Sorry I'm out here making money.
Look at all this. You like these things?
That's right. That fast food you're eating right now? Yeah. All right, boys. Well, let's have a good one today. John, welcome back. It's good to see you.
Ready break.
Yes.
Thanks for coming back to a loss.
I'm
blaming you for some reason.
I was kind of mad we didn't get to dig into game six with it being on a
prize. You said that before the show.
Yeah.
And also, real quick, John, I don't think you were listening. I did. We asked about which guys at Sports Radio 610 you would ask to give advice to your teenage son.
Mm-hmm.
I said that you would be the first guy, but that you were also the most likely to lead him astray.
Yes, both. Yes on both. On both.
As long as they walk away with three crates of OG sauce. That's the good stuff. All right, Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and lower social media usage to
you. Good luck with that. Yeah.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.